Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. This week, we're talking about curveballs, dealing with uncertainty, and handling whatever life throws at you. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and let's get talking. I am so pumped for today's conversation. We're diving into something that we all face, but rarely talk about openly. Life's curveballs, these challenges, and as we're going to call them today, blobs. You know, those unexpected moments that knock you off course, whether it's a sudden job loss or career transition that you didn't quite see coming, or just everyday financial pressure that keeps working families up at night. Today, we're going to talk about how to handle those curveballs with resilience, wisdom, and a plan. Our money buddy today has been through it all. From growing up on a farm to climbing through the ranks in banking and finance, he's seen every kind of curveball that the working world can throw at you. And now he's dedicated his life to helping working men and women build meaningful lives and legacies. Today's money buddy is Dr. Mark L. Teague. He's a seasoned executive, entrepreneur, and author whose journey from farmhand to finance executive has equipped him with a wealth of knowledge and unique insights into the challenges facing the American working class. He has a PhD in agricultural economics from Oklahoma State University and an impressive track record in banking and finance. You're going to appreciate what Dr. Teague brings to the table today as we talk about all these different curveballs that we have to deal with. And he shared some specific examples that I know each of you are going to enjoy. And speaking of each and every one of you, I want to continue to learn where you're listening from. I got a couple more listeners to shout out today. Shout out to those of you listening in Brisbane, Australia, and Rexburg, Idaho. I appreciate whether you're listening all the way across the world or if you're listening within the same state as me. It's awesome to see where each of you are listening from. And if you have any questions or want to reach out and let me know where you're listening from, please send me an email. The link is in the show notes. But let's get back to this week's money talking points. The first one is, how do you handle unexpected career or life transitions? The second one is, what role does resilience play in financial success? And the third one is, how can working class families build a meaningful legacy? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Mark to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be an exciting conversation today. We're talking about those curveballs that we all get thrown. We all have to deal with those things that really take us off our planned path, because if life was just perfectly planned and easy, well, maybe it'd be a little bit boring. So maybe we should enjoy these curveballs. But Mark, let's start off with some of these money talking points. These are what I like to call simple conversation starters for our audience to take to family and friends and just maybe talk about the episode. So let's start off with this first one. How do you handle unexpected career or life transitions?
Man, I would like to paint a word picture for your audience, Skylar. When life brings those unexpected things to you, it's like a blob. It just plops in your lap. It's undefined, it's shifting, changing. It's hard to get a handle on it. And if I could say anything to your audience, it would be this. As soon as that happens, what you need to do is go back to problem solving 101. Put a frame around that blob. Frame it. You're going to work against the frame, not against the blob. If you work against the blob, you have no idea what to do. If you work against that rational, logical frame, now you can make progress. And that's the master art of problem solving. When the blob hits, put a frame around it and go to work. You learn with experience as you build skills, and you must be a person of principle. That person of principle has a toolbox. You're going to pull from that toolbox, put a frame around that problem, and go to work on it. That's quite important. If you don't do that, it's just going to run right over you.
Yeah.
If you do that, you have a chance to solve it.
First question, we're already hitting home runs. And I've heard of that sort of idea before about putting your problems in a bit of a perspective, but I really like the idea of a blob and a frame. You know, the saying is life gives you lemons, but often it gives you blobs and you don't really know what to do with them. I like that picture that it's painting here. But this is a money show. We love talking about money here. How does this resilience or this framework that you work on play a role in being successful financially?
Well, resiliency, it's hard to overstate how important that is. As you say, we'll talk specifically about financial issues. You must be resilient. You must have a particular type of problem solving. So in general, it is that blob versus frame approach. If you get down to particular categories like financial, that's going to narrow the window. You have a particular set of tools, a particular frame you're going to put around that. And one thing you must have is risk management. You need to have a notion of what you're going to do to manage the downside of any investment that you're going into. For general investing, the very first question you ask is time frames. How long will I be in this investment? You ask that right up front, and that's going to guide you as to how you build a risk management plan to handle the ups and downs of the variability that you face.
Yeah, and right there, that time frame, that's one of those frames. I mean, it has frame in the word, but that's one of those things you can box that blob in with, saying, here's money I need to invest. Now, what do I do with it? It can be messy at first because it feels like it's going to go all over the place. Maybe you're worried about taxes. You're worried about stock market volatility. But putting these ideas and frameworks around it is certainly, I mean, we're just getting started and already super helpful for everyone.
Yes, sir. Back to the basics.
Yes, that's a simple way to keep it. You talk about working class families, and so often now it feels like everyone has to work even harder and try even more to build something meaningful. How can these families that you're working with build meaningful legacies?
There are many things. Let me start with the most important. I have a passion for the American working class family. We are a working class nation. When the working class does well, our nation does well. When the working class struggles, our nation struggles. To every working class family, what's your foundation? What do you stand on? You need to think very carefully about that, because that is going to determine how well you weather difficulty. What is your foundation? What do you stand on? And one thing that needs to be prominent in that foundation is accepting life for what it is. It is a series of problems coming your way. If you accept that, now you're going to start building skills and tactics to be successful at solving those. We have a growing divide in our nation today. Those that accept life as that, as defined, it's a series of problems coming my way. Well, you're a serious person. You're a serious family. You can be worked with. You can be relied upon. We have another group that's growing, and they tend to be pretty loud. They think they're too good for that. They think that's beneath them. I shouldn't be hassled with those kinds of problems. And when they come, they're somebody else's fault. Well, there's a deep immaturity to that. It makes you unreliable. If you think that way, and a lot of people do, you're a child. You're not prepared for life as it comes. So I would say that is bedrock foundation number one. Do you accept life for what it is? It's a series of problems. Now you can buckle down and get serious about it. And I would say something else to married families. You know, in my book, I caught up on all the latest social statistics, social science surveys and studies. And the stats have caught up to old-fashioned values. Do you want to have more wealth? Get married and stay married. Do you want to have better health? Get married and stay married. Do you want to be happier, have more contentment? Get married and stay married. There is a marriage gap that's growing. Those that make that commitment, they stick with it, they work through things, they end up in a much better place than those that don't even try, those that try to trash it from the beginning, those that treat marriage as a toy, as something to play with. If you'll get serious about those commitments, you'll do better in every area of life without question. Facts are clear.
Yeah. And there's some key foundational things that if you just hold on to those, problem solving can be extremely fun. And so if you come at it with a perspective of this is going to be fun, I'm going to enjoy these blobs that are thrown my way. But if you're prepared for them and you have that framework and foundation in place, things get a lot easier. Dealing with those problems isn't a huge challenge. You see it coming or you don't see it coming, but either way, you're able to take it and run with it.
Yeah. I want to point something out, Skyler, to your audience. With what you just said, you and I just met, but I know I'm talking to a man that has a serious mind. I could partner with you to get things done. That's a serious approach. We have too many people that think that they're too good for that. That's unfortunate. But what you just said is a key in life. If you embrace that, you take life for what it is, you can get something done. If you want life to be easy, well, life is going to roll right over you. It's going to have you for lunch. So, yeah, the blobs are coming. What are you going to do with it? They're headed your way. Some you'll see, some you won't. They're going to find you. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that's a great perspective to have. And I hope that's motivating for everyone listening, is saying you can solve these problems. They don't have to just run you over. You can figure this out and do it.
That's exactly right. Start there.
Yeah.
Now you get down to a particular problem, there are specific skills. But if you're serious about life itself, you will find those skills. You will discover them. You will use them.
Yeah. And I hope for the audience there that those money talking points that we just discussed, those can be a great way for you to sit down and talk about, hey, how do you handle life's curveballs? How do you adjust? How do you think of this framework perspective that I heard on this podcast episode? So I hope everyone takes what we just talked about and goes and shares it and has a money talk with a friend. But I do want to get a little bit more into you, Mark, and hear your journey and your story.
Yes.
What's one of the biggest curveballs
sir.
That you've dealt with? What's that big blob that you've had to put a frame around?
Well, there are two big ones. The first one was Melissa and I grew up together. We had a very traditional American background. We grew up in the farm and ranch setting in the Texas Panhandle. And we have a picture of me attending her second birthday party. We grew up together and were high school sweethearts and got married right out of high school for her, college for me. We started a family right away. At that point in time, the mid-80s, we married in 1986. So the farm economy was difficult. Cash flow was very tight. That was a great challenge. As all of your listeners, if they don't know it now, they will soon realize it's hard to have a home without a livelihood. Mm-hmm. If that livelihood is shrinking, that brings a great deal of pressure. We didn't expect that, but that was the economic environment at the time in production agriculture. So we focused on problem solving and decided to go to graduate school. That's where I earned a doctorate in agriculture economics. I joined the banking and finance industry, and that was a great change for us. It was a huge curveball. We never expected to leave home. We wound up living all across the country. Melissa asked me, she said, promise me you won't move me to a big city. Well, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Minneapolis. We hit most of them. I did keep her out of Los Angeles and Manhattan. We hit all the rest of them. Now we're back in Texas. So Those were big curveballs along the way. We used basic problem-solving skills to get through every one of those.
Nice. That's really interesting because it took a turn that you weren't expecting. You were maybe expecting that farm and ranch life to be the life for you, but you ended up in a career in banking and finance, and you didn't quite get to the biggest of big cities, but you sure landed in some pretty big ones, and that may not be what was expected.
We hit most of them.
But in that realm of banking and finance, what did you learn that helped propel your financial education that you wish the average person knew?
That's a great question. And that's actually the second curveball. Let me introduce one more principle. The first one with the working class family is accept life for what it is. That foundation of problem solving. The next one right behind that is when pressure comes, when stress hits, especially those unexpected events, there's one rule you want to apply. Simplify. Simplify. When you have that frame, you put that frame around that problem. Now you can break it down into separable components. If you find a problem overwhelming, it's likely there are actually five or six problems that you've let aggregate together. You want to break them down into their separable components and then prioritize them and work on the top one or two, three at the most, and just work down your list very systematically. That gives you the best chance of succeeding. It lowers your stress levels. It heightens your productivity level. Often we make the, especially men, we let problems aggregate. We're looking at this frustrating, overwhelming problem. You've actually let five or six issues aggregate together. And that's a blob that you can never solve. Frame it, start breaking it down. You get it down to its components, take them one or two at a time, and you can get that done. So here's a big one I faced in that career change in the farm and ranch framework. The incentives are straightforward. If you don't work, you don't eat. It's very simple. If you don't get your work done, your revenue will suffer right away. I got into a corporate career, and the framework is anything but straightforward. The incentives are all over the place. Various agendas. It's a very political environment, and your audience will understand that. They're in the middle of it. I built my career through that. I understand completely. The challenge that I faced was I'm in a team environment. I'm leading teams. I have to deliver. Here's what I found myself doing, Skylar. Reach back to those old-fashioned principles that are tested, tried, and true, and bring them into the modern world and apply them in a modern setting. That worked extremely well. So I would say to your audience today, this modern working class family, you will be working in a teamwork environment. You need to reach back to the old-fashioned principles, apply them today. That will work. we think all of this around has started in 1973 down at the mall. there are thousands of years of human history. We need to draw upon that and make ourselves smarter.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating point, because thinking about it from a financial principles point, the one that kept coming to my mind was the emergency fund. Like it's a tried, true, and tested, everything that it's stood the test of time. And it's the same sort of thing that applies to having multiple problems, because if there's one thing that's going to mess up a whole bunch of problems and throw all sorts of different issues your way, it's car troubles. If you get a flat tire, now maybe it's a flat tire. If you don't have an emergency fund, maybe you're having to take on debt. Maybe it caused you to miss a few days of work, so now your paycheck is less. Now you can afford less groceries. Yeah. Like, you can see quickly how those problems stack, and how you mentioned sometimes there's five and six problems all over the place, but a simple principle of an emergency fund can just level that out for you and take away all of those before they even happen.
That's exactly right. Let me broaden that idea, Skylar. Think of it as a buffer. Yep. Whatever you're going to do in life, whether it's a business plan, a personal plan, a career plan, there's variability around that. There are things you don't know. Things are going to happen that you didn't see, many of them that you couldn't know. You need a buffer. Mm-hmm. You need to create a buffer that gives you room, gives you time to respond. That emergency fund is a very important piece of that buffer. If you have that buffer, then you have a chance to adjust. You have some time to make changes as information comes along. It is even broader than the emergency fund. It includes that. But in any plan, have a buffer for things going wrong, and you'll be much more likely to find success.
A recent guest shared the idea that if you don't have an emergency fund, every emergency is going to come with two emergencies. You're going to have a money emergency, and you're going to have the actual emergency.
Right.
Have that fund and knock your emergencies in half, basically. Like, it just makes it so much
simpler.
That's
exactly right. I couldn't agree more.
How have you seen people have resilience, or how do they develop resilience to be able to bounce back from these challenges or emergencies or curveballs that are thrown their way?
Well, it is mindset. That's the first foundational aspect. Now, talking more strictly financial, that's where the time frames come in. You want to be very careful when you're talking about an investment you're going to make. Spec out the time frames when you need the money, because that will set the legitimate nature of investments that you can use. That will determine your resiliency. You don't want to take more risk that you can stand given the time frames for that money. That probably hurts retirement funds more than anything. Mm-hmm. It's not, you don't have a careful assessment of time frames and break them down. There could be groups. So I need this amount of money. At this point, it might be college for the kids. It might be purchasing a house. It might be a car. You're going to spec out the length of time when you need the money. And then within that time frame, now you start choosing appropriate investments. And that's a plan that has resiliency. Without that, you're running out on the edge. Mm-hmm. So even if you have an emergency fund, your plan itself is flawed, and it will overcome that emergency fund. So if you think time frames first and then investment second, that will give you resiliency. And I think I would add something else. This is where I see a lot of mistakes made. There is a burden that we all bear in terms of being free. Just the fact that we live in a free society, there's a burden upon our shoulders. That is the willingness to change. You need to take that seriously. We would like to find success as long as it's within the parameters of what I'm already doing, where I already rest. You need to understand when you're thinking about what to do to produce an income, to get cash flow, how I'm going to build a career. You need to understand that there are some 262 million consumers in the United States. They have a vote. They have a say.
And that's what I was even thinking right there, is if you accept it as a challenge that's going to come your way, that there will be change, because like you mentioned, people vote with their wallets. So if money's not coming your way because of what you're trying to produce, whether it's a standard W-2 job and maybe money's not coming your way, maybe there's something you need to change about the way your career's working. And if you're willing to do that, then that's when resilience comes into play. I like the piece you talked about timeframes, because maybe your emergency fund is a buffer to get you through a one-year time frame where you need to realign your career. There's different ways you can look at how you're investing, whether it's a traditional stock investment or it's an investment in your time and education. Like, there's all sorts of different avenues you can go with that.
That's where you get into detailed discussions on financial status and what the specific steps are. Over the course of my career and all the interactions that I've had with folks, the fundamentals get dismissed. You want to go back to the fundamentals, the mindset, the thinking about how I'm going to plan this out. And then your plan will work. Your plan will have, you will frame out those details and you will find something that works. But if you're not willing to change, if you don't accept life for what it is, if you don't have that strong foundation, well, you can talk details all you want. It's never going to happen. You're kidding yourself from the start. Get the foundation right. And then things will go good going forward.
If you would assume that some pre-existing foundation is going to be what exactly works for you, like thinking just getting a college degree is going to lead to wealth, that may not be the case anymore. And you got to change.
No.
And you got to adapt and build your own plan.
Yes, that is 100% correct. And that's hard for a lot of us to accept. But you're not the only one making the choice. The consumer determines value.
Yeah, so just keep being willing to change. And in the same vein with the American working class and these people that you love to champion and get behind, what are some of the biggest curveballs they're facing in today's economy and in today's career landscape with their money and their jobs?
Well, I'm going to address one that's in relation to public policy, Skyler, and it's hit us all hard for a few years now. We're getting a little on the backside of it, but we need to learn something, and that is inflation. Inflation is a killer. We need to understand inflation helps no one. There is no one that benefits in an inflationary environment. Several groups get crushed. The poor, the low income, they take it in the shorts in a big way. The retired, folks that are on the backside of the career, fixed income, it hurts them deeply. We need to demand of our public officials that they stop doing the things that cause inflation. Inflation is a policy choice. It happens when you're reckless in public spending. You do not restrain it properly, and you're reckless in interest rate policy. Those two things determine an inflationary environment. It's not an accident. It doesn't just happen, and it does not have to be an accepted portion of life. We need a sound currency. We need sound money. That's critical to the health of our nation. We need to stop listening to these clowns while they make poor public policy choices and then try to deflect that on someone else. We need a Federal Reserve that is responsible. We need Congress that will stop spending money they were never authorized to spend. The national debt must be addressed. We need to get serious about it. The debt and deficit, the results of that are in an inflationary environment. I would encourage all of us to sway votes, change votes. We need to reset that framework around public policy, and that will benefit the American working class in a major way.
Yeah, inflation is such a huge issue because we went so long with really not thinking about it too much, and then it hit us in such a massive way. A previous guest shared that COVID caused about a $2 trillion hole in our economy, and it was filled with $6 trillion. You can see how that might cause imbalance in the way things are going to work after the fact. Could they have plugged the hole to sustain it? But no, they like overfilled it. And that just leads to problems down the road.
Just one bad policy decision right after another. We need to wake up as voters and realize we're setting that framework. It's ultimately on us. These clowns will do whatever we let them get by with. He said it happened all of a sudden, and that's the way it works. It doesn't matter. This is the way the national debt is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden, it matters. And it's the only thing that matters. It happens all of a sudden. We are marching, Skyler, straight toward a bond market crisis. We're headed there just as sure as the world. And that's going to make this recent bout with inflation look like child's play. It'll be the same issue, only far more intense in duress and far longer lasting because it's so much harder to address. In a bond market crisis, it's the overall debt burden that's driving it. You have the same effect. It's much worse and far more difficult to control because it's structural. It's baked in as a financial structure that you've taken on as the public. Well, that's up to us as voters. We are allowing that to occur. If we say stop, it will stop. And I want to encourage your audience, it's time to demand that our public officials get the deficit and the debt under control because our future really does depend on it.
Yeah, it's fun to get into some of these bigger economical factors that as you're discussing there, but that's because that's not normally something we talk about here, but it impacts every single person. It's related to your personal finance situation. It's when that credit card starts getting towards that maxed out point And then you're like, where do I spend money? It just starts getting incredibly more tight and stressful because you're getting near the end of that threshold. Numbers now are just so big, like trillion-dollar companies. Numbers move so much now that people just weren't used to in the past, and it's just going to cause some crazy bounces. People can't wrap their heads around the numbers being thrown around. It can be very intense.
You're exactly right, Skylar. In fact, your example is very pertinent. Folks know what happens if you let your credit cards get out of hand. It creates a budget squeeze. In the end, the interest expense on that is just wrecking your budget. Well, it's no different in the public realm. The interest expense off our national debt is now the second largest item in the entire federal budget. It's larger than national defense.
Wow.
Here's what can happen, a very visceral point for all of us to understand. We can reach a point where the federal government cannot make payroll. So just think that over and what that means. The largest employer in the country, one of the largest, they can't make payroll. That's what we're stepping toward. It's time to take that seriously.
Yeah.
There's no need to, you know, we talk about the blobs and the problems coming our way. Well, you need to understand that. But if you start creating your own blobs, stop being stupid. Have a plan. Get one. Work that plan. Well, as a nation, we're marching toward a bond market crisis. It will be catastrophic. It will hurt this country like nothing we've seen. Start voting like that matters. Start demanding of your politicians that we need sound public policy, because that plan you're making for your family, it's happening in an environment. It's happening inside of a policy environment. You want that environment in your favor. Tell your politicians they better start acting that way.
Well, Mark, you made at least one person much more aware of this issue. So I'm hoping that it translates to our audience as well. Thank you for coming on. We're heading towards the end here. A couple of questions that I'm going to follow up with our audience after the episode and after the interview. But I want to make sure they get to know where they can find you. How can people connect with you if they wanted to learn more about what you like to talk about? How can they find you?
Thank you very much. Well, let's look to the book to begin with, A Working Man's Guide. And the best place to go is to the website. And it's the title on the book. Just drop the apostrophe, aworkingmansguide.com.
Nice.
And you'll get a ton of information there.
Great. We'll have a link to the website in the show notes, and then people can find you from there. One final question I'd like to ask all of our guests is, what's one thing you wish you had known sooner in this realm that we talked about today with handling these curveballs they get thrown at us?
You know, those basics of problem solving, which are, don't address the blob, address the frame. So when that blob hits you, put a frame around it, go to work, and simplify. Don't let problems aggregate, break them down. I wish I had been more aggressive about that at a younger age. It would have served me very well. And I would encourage your audience, wherever you are right now, assess, do I make practice of that? Is that a habit of mine? When that blob hits my door, frame it. And go to work on the frame. Once I understood that, I did it faithfully every time. And I wish I'd started a few years before. So I encourage your audience with that.
Yeah. Mark, this has been fantastic. We talked a lot more about blobs than I thought we would, but it was a great conversation. And really, it's going to help people like frame so many of those other problems coming at their lives and help them think about how they can handle those curveballs. Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure. It's good to be here. Thank you, Skylar.
I really hope each and every one of you enjoyed that interview today. I do want to wrap up and cover one other question that we weren't able to get to in the interview and talk about it a little bit here with each and every one of you. That question was going to be, how can families balance the immediate financial pressure of life with building long-term wealth and security? Well, one of the main things that you need to do is start with your essentials. There is so much pressure coming at us to go above and beyond our means. But if you're feeling that strain and that pressure, consider just starting with the essentials like housing, food, utilities, transportation. Focus on those things before you start thinking about building long-term wealth, and you can get that pressure completely off your plate. You can get things like housing and food under control to a point where you don't really have to worry about them month to month. You know your meal plan is going to work. You know that your rent or your mortgage payment is affordable. And then here's a big one that I love to talk about, and I know you probably hear me drop little nuggets in this vein here and there. Transportation. Get away from having to drive everywhere. An e-bike is a phenomenal alternative for really everybody out there. And here's the great thing. If more people are biking, it makes driving even better for those of us who really don't want to bike. But let me promise you, if you start riding an e-bike places and start doing little errands and picking up things on an e-bike, and especially ride an e-bike to work, you're going to begin to save money in so many other areas. You're going to have a new enjoyment and happier life. Transportation is a huge one that's an essential area that we all have to deal with. And if you can cut costs in transportation by riding an e-bike, it's going to relieve that pressure in some very big ways. And we also talked about this one in the episode itself, but an emergency fund. I want to bring it up again because even a small amount saved regularly can create that financial buffer that we talked about. And it's going to allow you to handle those curveballs without derailing your long-term goals. Because once you get to a point where you are able to start building that long-term wealth and security, the last thing you want is for something simple like a flat tire to completely derail it, make you sell your investments, take an early withdrawal penalty from an IRA, all over a flat tire. Don't make it so that you have to do something like that. Now, once some of the initial pressures that we were just talking about are relieved, you can begin to automate things. Automate things like your 401k match. Take advantage of employer benefits. Automate things like an IRA contribution or a taxable brokerage account contribution. Make these things happen in the background so that when you're 10 and 20 years down the road, you're like, oh man, I forgot that I set up this automatic retirement contribution and I am so glad that I did it. And then two more things that kind of go hand in hand is incremental process and lifestyle creep. You want to make sure your savings and your ability to save money, that is growing incrementally. You want to make sure that your lifestyle is not growing incrementally, because lifestyle inflation, I think, is the potential number one killer, maybe outside of credit card debt, in terms of things that are going to derail your financial future. You need to resist the temptation to spend more, especially as your income increases. Instead, redirect those raises and bonuses towards savings and retirement. This can be a great place to make sure you're staying in line. And here's a tip. If you do a monthly budget, which I recommend everyone at least get started with or try it out, consider how you could budget on less than your income. Say you make $6,700 a month, budget on $6,000 and give it a shot, and your lifestyle will adjust and you're going to be able to make it work. We talked about in the episode with Mark about having a plan. Having a realistic budget that doesn't set you up for failure helps make money so much easier for the working family that already has so much else going on in their life. If you can set up a budget that isn't going to set you up to fail by making you think you need to only spend $3,000 a month or whatever, that's just completely unrealistic. If you set yourself up to succeed from the get-go, it's going to make managing money a whole lot easier. You can make informed decisions and set up guardrails and build a budget that is going to actually work for you and balances that pressure versus that want to save for the future. And now here's a quick little plug about financial education. This can also be huge towards balancing the pressures of life. Consider maybe working with a coach or just listening to more financial podcasts, because there's so much great advice out there. But honestly, working with a professional is going to help you more than you realize, because someone like me, I can help take these pressures off of your mind, help you stop thinking about them so much, and help you put a plan in place that's going to put guardrails up for you and that's going to help you make decisions in the future with so much more ease. And also, remember your why. I just recently did an episode on financial planning for young adults, my brand new podcast that you should go check out. Link is in the show notes. I did an episode over there about finding and crafting your financial why, and it's a great one. So if you need another podcast in your life, or you want to move over to one that's much more financial planning focused, head over to the show notes and check out Financial Planning for Young Adults. It's my brand new podcast all about making the complex world of financial planning simple and easy to understand for young adults who are just getting started in their career and want to make sure they figure out this money thing early. But that does it for today's episode. What a great conversation with Mark. We explored how to handle life's inevitable curveballs, from those career transitions that you may not expect to the financial pressure of everything trying to take money out of our wallets. Mark's journey really helped show us that if there's a curveball and you're expecting them, you can figure out how to take that blob that lands in your lap and frame it in a way that's going to allow you to move forward, make the change, and learn what you need to learn. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected to all things Money Talk is to subscribe to this podcast right here, wherever you're listening to it. You can find links in the show notes to email me, or please leave a comment on Spotify or YouTube. And if you're looking to get started with budgeting, sign up for a Money Talk today using the link in the show notes. And if you're a young adult or you know someone in life who could benefit from some great financial planning advice, check out Financial Planning for Young Adults where you're listening to the show right now, in the show notes, or just search for Financial Planning for Young Adults. And remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a Money Talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.